I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the Psalm 23, please, the 23rd Psalm. And we've been making our way through this Psalm, and we've entitled this little series, From Earth to Glory. And we have said that each verse could be a chapter in a whole book. And we have come this morning to verse 4, and I want to talk to you about victory in the valley. Victory in the valley. And we're reading from Psalm 23. And we're reading, please, at the verse 1, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, or yes. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sarah Winchester's husband, William, had acquired a great deal of money. In fact, he had made a fortune in making rifles and selling rifles. And after he died of influenza in the year 1918, she moved to San Jose in California. Because of her grief and sorrow, and her longtime interest in spiritism, Sarah sought out a medium to make contact with her husband who was dead. The medium told her this: as long as you keep building your home, you will never face death. Sarah believed the spiritist, and so she bought an unfinished mansion, and she started to expand it. At the time she bought it, it cost $5.5 million at a time when workmen in America were earning 50 cents a day. The mansion had 150 rooms. It had 13 bathrooms. It had 2,000 doors. It had 47 fireplaces, and it had 10,000 windows. But it didn't work. For on the 5th of September, 1922, Sarah Winchester died in her sleep. She left enough materials so that they could have continued building that mansion for another 80 years. And today that house stands in San Jose in California. And it stands as more than a tourist attraction. It is a silent witness to the dread of death that holds millions of people in bondage. How different is the story of the little lady who walked with God for many years, and she was a saint by every measure of the word, and at last her body began to get frail and life was ebbing away, and she was on her deathbed, and her family was gathered around her, and they were wringing their hands, and they were weeping. And she looked up at them, and almost with the last vestige of strength, she said, "Go ahead and cry if you must, but don't cry for me. I'm tickled to death to die." Now, you and I, even as Christians, don't like to discuss death, but we need to learn how to deal with death. Almost every week I find myself at some time of the week, perhaps more on a Saturday than any other day, going for a walk with my grandchildren in Moira Parish Churchyard. And when they ask me, when they're younger, "Granda, what are these?" I tell them they're graves. And people die. And they're buried there. And sometimes we'll see a grave with a text on that, on the grave. And I tell them that perhaps that person was saved and they go to heaven. You say, how awful to fill a little child's mind with those kinds of thoughts. No, it's good to have those thoughts. We're not trying to scare our children, but we want them to understand the reality of life, the reality of death, and the reality of eternity. And when we're caused to think of death, God uses that to make us realize how brief life is and what we should be doing with our life. Now, David had all of that in mind when he wrote his beautiful psalm, especially verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David spoke of a valley called the valley of the shadow of death. Now, there is such a valley in Israel. There is a valley in Israel this morning that's called the valley of the shadow of death. Many feel it's the Wadi Kalt. And the Wadi Kalt was probably the specific gorge that David had in mind. It's near Bethlehem, and David would have led his sheep through this Wadi Kalt many times down to the pasture lands of the Jordan Valley, especially when it came winter, and he would graze them there until it came spring. The city of Jericho is at the eastern end of the Wadi Kalt, and Jericho is a desert oasis, and around it's a well-watered spring in winter, and of course in the springtime. The word Wadi is a Middle Eastern term. It means deep valley or ravine. Years ago, when you went on tour to the land of Israel, bus drivers would take you down to the place called the Wadi Kalt. And down there is St. George's Monastery, and you would see this valley. Of course, there's a modern motorway now between Jerusalem and Jericho, and the drivers really don't want to take you down to the Wadi Kalt. But when you go down there, you can see that St. George's Monastery, and you can see that valley. And of course, that valley parallels the old Roman road to Jericho, which was the backdrop of the parable of the Good Samaritan. In David's day, in our Lord's day, there was this valley known as the valley of the shadow of death, and David would use this valley as he would take his sheep down from the highlands of Judea, and he would bring them through the Wadi Kalt, and he would bring them down to Jericho, and there they would graze in wintertime, and then in springtime when the grass would begin to grow on the hillsides of Judea, he would take them again through the Wadi Kalt, and he would lead them into higher plains. And you see, as David led his sheep through that valley, he says, the Lord is to me what I've been to those sheep as I have led them through the valley of the shadow of death. David had discovered victory in the valley. Now, I want you to learn to do the same thing, and I trust that I learned to do the same thing. And I want to give you three things this morning that I trust will enable us to have victory in the valley. Notice first of all in verse 4, the fact of death is declared. The fact of death is declared. Death is a fact that you and I must accept. I mean, do you see how David begins? He begins, yea, not nay. He says, yes. Now, it's a fact we may not want to accept. But the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. And my dear friends, if the Lord doesn't come, you and I are going to go through the door of death. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Just as surely as there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. We cannot escape it. You see, death is actual. David says, yea, it's a reality. We speak of statistics. And I could give you a lot of statistics about death, but let me give you one that really is so true. One out of one die. I mean, did you get that? One out of one die. Death is actual. Something else. Look at verse 4. Death is individual. David says, yea, though I walk, not they walk. You know, when a preacher talks about death, You know what happens in the human mind? Know what happens in your mind? Your mind says this, tell them, preacher. Tell them about death. They're going to die. But my dear friends, you may be next to die. For death is actual, and death is individual. And then verse 4 again, death is problematical. You see, the problem for you and I this morning is this, that we don't know when we're going to die. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David the shepherd is walking through that valley with his sheep, but he doesn't know from one moment to the next what's going to happen. You see, that valley was not only useful because it was used to bring the sheep into green pasture, into abundant pasture, but that valley called the Wadi Kelt, it was dangerous. In some places, it was just about 12 feet wide down there. And even in high noon, it was always full of shadows. And there were caves down in the Wadi Kelt, and there were shadowy places, and it was dangerous. In Bible times, there were bears down there. There were robbers down there. There were steep places where the sheep might fall. You see, for David this morning, and for you and I this morning, we just live a step at a time. David himself says, there's a step between me and death. The old man, the young mother, the little child drops its toys as it begins to grapple with the iron strength of death. We were praying for a young lady in the prayer meeting of 38 years of age who was battling with cancer with two little children. She died yesterday. 38 years of age. And I must preach as a dying man to dying men and women. And my dear friends, it may be the last message that I'll ever preach, but I want to tell you, it may be the last message that you'll ever hear. I don't know, and neither do you. You remember James's words. He says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We count our years as each birthday follows the one after another, but God tells us to number our days. After all, those days pass by quickly, and they seem to pass by more quickly as we get older. Corrie ten Boom said, it's not the duration of life that's important, it's the donation of life. My dear friend, God doesn't have to take away your life. All that he has to do is to stop giving it. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Life is a gift from God. We should say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Wonder this morning, do you realize that your life is passing? Have you grasped it? It's just like a vapor. It's just like your breath on a frosty morning. It's just like the steam that came out of the kettle this morning. How are you spending it? Are you wasting it? Or are you investing it? Are you living that life of yours for God, for heaven, for souls, for holiness? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Now, the fact of death is declared. But look at verse 4 again. Here's the second thing. The figure of death is described. The fact of death is declared. The figure of death is described. You see, David is describing death figuratively here. And the figure that David uses here gives us some tremendously comforting thoughts about death. He likens death to walking through a valley where there are shadows. But he's going to fear no evil, for the divine shepherd is with him. Now, if you look at this figure carefully this morning, you'll notice, first of all, there's no valley without mountains. There's no valley without mountains. It's impossible. You see, you can't have a valley this morning without mountains. And of course, you and I know that this is the Valley Psalm. It lies between the mountain peaks. Psalm 22 tells us of Mount Calvary. Psalm 24 tells us of Mount Zion. Psalm 22 tells us of the crucifixion of the Messiah. Psalm 24 tells us of the coronation of the Messiah. And in between, there's the valley between the Psalms. And so over here, In Psalm 22, we've got the blood-drenched mountain of Mount Calvary. And over here in Psalm 24, we've got Mount Zion and the sunlit peaks of Mount Zion. We've got the crucifixion and the coronation. You remember what we said about our sufficient shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned three times in the New Testament as a shepherd. He's the good shepherd, and that's Mount Calvary. And my dear friends, he's the chief shepherd, and that's Mount Zion. But then he's the great shepherd, and that's the valley experience. And he's bringing me through the valley, and he's living for me. And so in Psalm 22, we have the good shepherd dying for the sheep. In Psalm 24, we have the chief shepherd coming for the sheep. But in Psalm 23, we have the great shepherd risen from the dead, and he's leading the sheep. And so you say to me, well, Dennis, where are we this morning? Well, we're living between the mountains. We're living between the slopes of Calvary and the slopes of Mount Zion, or the Mount of Olives, where the shepherd is ministering to us. Now look at the phrase, the valley of the shadow of death. It's been translated various ways. One has translated it, yea, when I walk in a gloomy reveal. J.D. Jones described the words to mean a valley of deep gloom. Still others have translated it like this, yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness. You see, I think that David was not only talking about the valley of the shadow of death. He was talking about those deep, dark experiences that you and I encounter in life. The dark arts. As we move in our life from earth to glory, what we're talking about this morning are real life problems, disease and disability, protracted legal problems, prolonged financial pressures, loved ones in crisis, war, children in trouble, marriage on the ropes, loneliness, addiction, depression, terminal illness, old age, dementia, death. Wonder this morning in one of these valleys. I was interested to read about Catherine Booth, the wife of William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, and she wrote on one occasion, darkness gathers thicker than ever around the path I tread, and doubt, gloom, melancholy, and despair. Think of that. Catherine Booth. R.W. Deal was a pastor in Birmingham. Many years ago, he was a famous pastor. He pastored a church called Carr's Lane in Birmingham. Someone has said it was one of the greatest local churches in its day. And yet, here's what R.W. Deal wrote. He said, seasons of depression, heavy, terrible, overwhelming, come over me without apparently any cause, and stay in spite of means which seem most powerful to effect the removal. Fancy that about R.W. Deal. Wonder this morning, are you in some valley experience? Valley of depression? The valley of sorrow? The valley of financial crisis? The valley of matrimonial upheaval? Wonder this morning, are you in some valley experience? I'm just here to remind you that the shepherd is with you to lead you through. You see, there can be no valley without mountain. Something else. Look at verse 4 again. There can be no shadow without light. You see that word shadow. Now, listen carefully. It's not the valley of death. There is a death valley in California. It's a national park. This is no death valley. This is the valley of the shadow of death. I didn't know this until this week. Our Lord's final journey to the cross was through the Wadi Kelt. Did you know that? I didn't. The Wadi Kelt was called the Way of Blood. It was called the Bloody Pass. And our Lord's final physical journey was through the Wadi Kelt. It's Matthew who traces the trip for us. He says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And when they drew nigh, on to Jerusalem. Now listen to me. The only way from Jericho to the only way from Jericho in the south to Jerusalem in the middle of the country was through the Wadi Kelt. It was through the way of blood. It was through the valley of the shadow of death. My friends, he's traveled it before us. Of course, on the cross, he met the substance, didn't he? You remember what Paul says? He says, through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what Easter's all about. He pulled the sting out of death. He took the gloom out of the grave. He took the dread out of dying. My friend, a shadow may frighten you, but it'll never hurt you. Donald Gray Barnhouse was the pastor of the famous 10th Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia, and he buried his first wife. And after the funeral of his wife, he was downtown one morning, or one day, with his kids, and they'd gone in to do some shopping, and he'd come out, and they were looking on the wall of a great department store, and they saw the shadow of a large truck that was coming down the road, and the shadow was even larger than the truck because the sun was sinking low in the west, and it became a huge shadow on this department store. And the great illustrator that he was and the great preacher that he was, Barnhouse began to think, and the kids began to say to him, "Daddy, look at the shadow of the truck." And Barnhouse thought to himself, "I'll teach them a lesson now." And so he said to them, children, if you had your choice, would you rather be hit by the truck or would you rather be hit by the shadow? And of course they said, "Well, Daddy, that's so easy. We would rather be hit by the shadow of the truck than by the truck itself. The shadow can never harm us." Barnhouse said, "It was only the shadow that hit Mommy. It was only the shadow that hit Mommy. The truck hit Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago at Calvary." A tremendous lesson, was it not? He's taken the sting out of death. He's taken the gloom out of the grave. He's taken the dread out of dying. He has become our victor. And when I go through the valley, the light and the safety of his presence will be with me. No valley without a mountain. No shadow without light. Look at verse 4 again. No evil without good. It says, I'll fear no evil. And the word for evil includes more than moral evil. The Hebrew can be translated distress, misery, injury, calamity, trouble. David says, I will fear no evil. As I go through the Wadi Kelt, I'll fear no evil, for thou, Jehovah, is with me. The ultimate is my intimate. You say, who does David mean? Verse 1, the Lord. All capitals. L-O-R-D. Jehovah. The most sacred name the Jews had for God. I've told you before that when a Jewish scribe came to translating the name Jehovah, he would set down the pen and go and take a bath before he would write the name Jehovah. He would set aside his old pen and he would take a new pen. Such was the reverence they had for the name of Jehovah. Brethren and sisters, we need that reverence back in the assembly today. We have become like a circus before the meeting. Reverence and respect for the name of God. Remember whose presence you're coming into. It's not the presence of a preacher nor the presence of elders. It's the presence of Jehovah. And you remember how God revealed himself to Moses, and old Moses began to make those excuses, and he says, whom shall I say sent me, and why should I go? And God said to Moses at the bush that burned with fire but was not consumed, tell them I am that I am. Didn't say, Moses, tell them I was or I will be. He said, I am that I am. I am the great, eternal, unchanging, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, self-existing God. Jehovah is my name. Now, that name's not mentioned in the New Testament. Do you know why? Because Christ is our Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah Jesus is my shepherd. And David said, when I go through the valley, he said there may be some evil, but Jehovah Jesus is with me. I was reading the story of a medical missionary. He had come to the end of life's journey and he had served the Lord for many years and he was dying of leukemia. And he just knew how far the disease had spread and he knew how long he had to live. And he wrote a letter to the assemblies that had been supporting him down through the years. And he wrote this letter like this. He said, "Brethren, David speaks of the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I've come to that valley. But I want to tell you, I find no shadows there. On the contrary, I found this, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Now, the fact of death is declared. The figure of death is described, but something else that will encourage you. The fear of death is defeated. The fear of death is defeated. The word fear is approximately used 330 times throughout the Old Testament. It's used mostly of reverential fear produced because of the presence and person of God. But here the Hebrew word is used of fear to describe someone who is fearful because they're anticipating evil. Wonder, are you here this morning and you fear death? I want to tell you, if you're here without Christ, you should fear death. Because death will simply be the article that will launch you into hell itself. But if you're a believer, we shouldn't really fear death. Remember some years ago walking into the Mater Hospital in Belfast to see my colleague and friend Ivan Thompson. His wife had just left him. And I think I was the first one on her heels to sit beside him as he told me the news that he had a brain tumor that couldn't be cured. I went to see Big Ivan often in the Royal, often late at night. Saw that big frame getting weaker and weaker. Used to say to me, "Dennis, the Lord's been good to me. Want to glorify the Lord in my death." I remember the day I sat beside him in the Royal and we discussed together his funeral arrangements. He said, "I want Batesy to preach at the church." That's George Bates. He said, "I want you to preach at the grave." And then with a familiar twinkle in his eye, he says, "Now here's what you've got to preach." Isn't it great to finish well? I mean, how can we defeat the fear of death? How can we get victory in the valley? We'll look at the psalm again. Three things in closing. By reminding ourselves of the presence of the shepherd, he's with you. Robert Morgan, in his lovely book, The 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is My Shepherd," says that this verse is powerful in its imagery, but also in its grammar. Here in the valley, in the middle of the psalm, at the most difficult point and moment in a sheep's life, we're awestruck by the dramatic change of the pronouns. Did you notice the remarkable change in the pronoun in verse 4? You see, up till now, David has been speaking of he. Verse 2, "He maketh me, he leadeth me, he restoreth me." But now, as he comes to the valley, he gets closer to the shepherd and he says, "Thou." He's no longer speaking about the shepherd. He's speaking to the shepherd, who Jehovah is with me. Think about it this morning. When you and I come to Jordan's River, if we can use that phrase, we won't have to cross Jordan alone. I mean, I won't have to die alone. I will prove the truth of the promise when Christ said, I will never leave thee. I will never, never forsake thee. Wonder this morning, are you in some valley? Well, I'm here to assure you that your shepherd is with you in the valley now, and he'll be with you in the valley then. You've got the presence of the shepherd. Something else, you've got the power of the shepherd. He's not only with you, he's for you. David says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You remember what I told you the rod was about? It was to guard the sheep. It was to protect the sheep. And you remember what I told you that what the staff was? It was to guide the sheep. My friend, when you and I come to die, the Lord will be there. Well, God of his presence, he says, I'll be with you. We've got his power. His rod will be there to protect you from all the powers of evil. And his staff will be there to draw you close to him as you walk through the valley and as your feet touch the chilly waters of the river of death. The presence of the shepherd. The power of the shepherd. Ah, but something else. Look at verse 4. The purpose of the shepherd. He says, yea, though I walk through. Aren't you glad this morning you're going through? I mean, you're not going into the valley. You're going through the valley. In Israel, when David would take his flock of sheep through the Wadi Kelt, it was always through the valley. It was always to bring them into a better place. It was always to bring them into a richer crop of grass. It was to bring them into an abundant harvest. It was always better. As Robert Morgan says again, the word through indicates a temporary state, a transition, a brighter path, a hopeful future. Would you agree with me this morning when I say that for the child of God, for the Christian this morning, problems are temporal, but blessings are eternal? Would you agree with that? I mean, I've got many problems. You've got problems too. Problems maybe with your wife or your husband. Problems with the pastor, but listen, would you agree with me that for the Christian, problems are temporal, but blessings are eternal? But listen, for the non-Christian, their blessings are temporal, but their problems are eternal. Because the Bible tells me the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever and forever. My friends, listen, for us this morning, when we face death, it's a cul-de-sac. It's not a cul-de-sac. Christ has kicked the end out of the grave. Our shepherd will bring us through. Someone said to a man on one occasion, he said, what's your favorite verse? He says, it came to pass. He says, why is that your favorite verse? He says, because I know whatever it is, it hasn't come to stay. Maybe you're in the valley of deep darkness this morning. You're in the storm. It will come to pass. You're going through. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask by side? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth. He doeth all things well. The fact of death is declared. The figure of death is described. The fear of death is defeated. Let me tell you again about Robert Morgan's little book. Robert Morgan is a friend of ours. He's a pastor, and he's got a great way with the pen. Tells in his book the story of Mrs. Berry, the wife of Joseph Berry, pastor in Hackney in London in the 1800s. Mrs. Berry was described as a lady who was very kind to the poor. She put all her efforts into ministering to the poor. However, she took seriously ill, and she turned to Psalm 23, and she found it, in her words, to be a heavenly message to me. She told her husband, her preacher husband, she said, if there's going to be a funeral, and there's going to be a funeral sermon, then let it be Psalm 23 and verse 4. As her health continued to fail, she had smatterings of conversations with her loved ones. She said, almost at home, my precious Bible, I never thought it could have sustained me thus, but it does. I haven't an anxious wish. It's heaven already. I'm as happy as I can be on this side of glory. Jesus is very precious. I have no anxiety. Later she whispered to a friend, it's so sweet to trust in Christ. Bless God, my dear. I am so happy though I walk through the valley. And then in her final moments, her friends caught just a few words from her dying lips, evidently inspired by Psalm 23. Valley, shadow, home, Jesus, peace. And with that, she went to glory. You and I this morning can have victory in the valley, for our shepherd is with us. Our shepherd is for us. Our shepherd will see us through. My friends, this morning, does this not send a shot of encouragement into your soul as you step out into another week? His presence is dear. His power is near. His purpose is clear. Your sufficient shepherd will see you through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the comfort and the encouragement of your word. And we pray, Lord, this morning for some of your saints who are in the valley. Some of them are in the valley of deep darkness. Some of them are in a valley of storm and discouragement and depression. Some are facing marital upset. Some are, gracious God, are facing a financial crisis. Some, Lord, are near death. And we pray for each today that they might know the shepherd is with them, that the shepherd is for them, and the shepherd will bring them through. We pause, O God, before we gather at this table, and we say, hallelujah. What a Savior. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.